The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Oh, hi, Bob here with this week's Bubble Genius Showcase Item of the Week. Just in time for Father's Day, Bubble Genius is proud to present their O-Balls Golf Ball Soap Gift Bucket. Due to popular demand, they've made a gift pack out of the same golf ball soaps that are in their Nice Pair 2-pack for all those dads who love golf. They come in a galvanized metal bucket with 8 balls, the perfect gift for the golf dad in your life. Only $15 at BubbleGenius.com, but if you use our promo code Bob and Chez, that's BobAndChez, you'll get 15% off your entire order of balls. Only at BubbleGenius.com. Hey, let's start the damn show.
Recorded live in the USA and covering the whole wide world, this is the Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
I'm pretty sure what's killing the crops is this Brondo stuff.
But Brondo's got what plants crave. It's got electrolytes.
So wait a minute. What you're saying is that you want us to put water on the crops?
Yes.
Water. Like out the toilet?
Well, I mean, it doesn't have to be out of the toilet, but yeah, that's the idea.
But Brondo's got what plants crave.
It's got electrolytes.
The plants aren't growing, so I'm pretty sure that the Brondo's not working. Now, I'm no botanist, but I do know that if you put water on plants, they grow.
Well, I've never seen no plants grow out of no toilet.
Hey, that's good. You sure you ain't the smartest guy in the world?
Yeah.
Okay, look, why don't we just try it, okay? And not worry about what plants crave.
Brondo's got what plants crave.
Yeah, it's got electrolytes.
Music. That's our middle name. Music.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
It is Tuesday, May 31, 2016, and this is the Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com. I am Bob Seska, that is Chez Pazienza, sitting right over there.
Hello.
Sitting in the gorilla enclosure.
And I'm waiting for a child to fall in. I'm just waiting.
We are brought to you by BubbleGenius.com. It's the best soap in the world. Also brought to you by the Bowen Law Group and attorney Charles J. Bowen. If you want free legal advice, here's what you got to do. You got to go to thebowenlawgroup.com/Bob and Chez or just click the link in the podcast page. Best lawyer ever. All right. So, happy summer, unofficially summer, I guess. The summer started yesterday. I guess the Memorial Day weekend, the official kickoff to summertime.
What's the weather like up there?
Awesome.
Is it really? Because it's like we have this thing in Southern California called June Bloom. That's what it's known as, where we have this sort of like marine layer that doesn't burn off until, you know, like noon, one, something like that. So every morning is kind of crappy.
Yeah.
And we actually had that all through May this year. And it extended into today. So I woke up, it was cloudy and 57 degrees. And now it's like 80 and sunny and gorgeous.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It's going to be like 99 later in the Northern California region.
Well,
I'm really looking forward to that one. But, you know, good news is there's no drought.
So says Donald Trump. All they got to do is turn the water on.
No drought. By the way, we are going to talk about the gorilla crap, but we're going to save that for the last segment of the show. Meanwhile, there's, God, too many things to talk about as far as Mr. Trump goes. Mr. Trump was busy over the weekend, over the Memorial Day weekend, faking his way through veterans' donations and things. He said there's no drought. We're going to talk about that. Then he claimed at some point last week that he had given $6 million or something like that to veterans' organizations. He didn't.
No.
Most of the checks that he discovered last week were all dated last week.
Yeah, and that's it exactly. The issue is that he did nothing. And then when he got busted, he started finally donating money and he expects credit for it.
That's right.
He's now standing up there saying, I don't know what the ugly yellow journalist media is saying about me, these dishonest, horrible people, because, hey, look, the money's there. I gave it to him. Yeah, but only after those dishonest journalists started pestering the shit out of you.
That's exactly right, including the one reporter from ABC News who Donald Trump called a sleaze.
Yeah.
He's a sleaze.
I mean, and this is
us, please.
Yeah, this is what's going to come out of a God forbid a Donald Trump presidency. Mm-hmm. It will just be this constant pushback against any sort of journalistic outlet that tries to genuinely hold him accountable.
Going back to the drought for a second, what we know now is that when confronted with an issue, it's not just going to be, if Donald Trump is elected president, it's not just going to be, here's what we're going to do about this issue. It's going to be Donald Trump questioning whether that issue exists in the first place.
Sure.
Because if it's an issue he doesn't have a solution for, he's just going to say, hey, you know what? I'm going to be a tremendous president, but there's no drought. There's no issue here. Which is nonsense when there's clearly an issue. And then in talking about it, he reveals that there is, in fact, an issue.
But think about that. It's a kind of, for his sort of voting block, mm-hmm. it's a beautiful tactic.
Yeah.
Because his strident supporters are people who believe conspiracy theories. Right. So, you know, there is no, you know, it's great. I can't wait until like some big disaster happens and he's asked to you know, issue an important statement on it and something, you know, very sort of, you know, I'm going to launch a full investigation, that kind of thing. He's just going to say, you know what, the government did it. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And that's exactly right, because it's his people are the same people who, when the unemployment numbers come out, they say, oh, you know what, they're just BSing the numbers. They just made up those numbers. They're not real. So, like, any fact that comes out, all Donald Trump has to do is the Fox News Channel tactic, which is to raise enough reasonable doubt about the issue. To not say that the issue exists or doesn't exist, but we don't know if it exists. Does it really? I don't know. I don't think it's so. True. And to the point where you go, all the people listening in are going, I.
It's the Chewbacca defense from South Park. Look at the little monkey.
That's right, the Chewbacca defense. Oh, my God. So, yeah, so Donald Trump said that there's no drought in California, even though California has suffered one of its driest years this past 2015. And the last year the state...
I'm here. It's ugly as hell. It is.
It really is. I mean, we had the El Nino, but that's not normal weather. So because the El Nino existed this past winter, it ameliorated a lot of the drought. But the fact of the matter is that the drought is still going to be there. And next winter, there might not be an El Nino. In fact, it's very unlikely there will be an El Nino to bring lots of rain to California next year. So the drought's only going to get worse and worse and worse. But Donald Trump isn't sold on it.
Having lived here during rainy seasons before, I can tell you that what we experienced with the El Nino, while better than anything I've seen in terms of the rainy season since I've been here, was still nothing.
Right.
It was nothing.
Yeah.
It was nothing. It was a relatively tame El Nino.
Yeah, it was.
It genuinely was. And we need so much more than that. And again, I am... Where I live, I am living proof that there is a very serious drought here, because when I moved in here... This place was gorgeous. Mm-hmm. They had, you know, we had gardenia bushes and all of these beautiful vines that grew up our patio. And I mean, that was one of the reasons that I lived here. And about a year ago, they went through and they raised everything and they xeriscaped it. So now we have drought resistant plants and we have, you know, the sort of drip irrigation.
Of course.
And it's fine, but it's not why I moved here. I mean, it's not anywhere near as attractive as what this place used to be, but that's the way it has to be now.
Yeah, I mean, the drought resistant plants, another good feature of what's to come with regard to global warming, which is, let's just make it livable. Let's come up with ways that we can just deal with it instead of actually solving the problem. And that's the case. And of course, up in Northern California, I thought it was going to be just a winter long of sitting by the window and watching the rain come down day after day and just weeping into a cup of hot cocoa. Just like, when is it going to be sunny again? It's never going to be sunny anymore. But no, it wasn't that way at all. We got like rain, but it wasn't enough and it wasn't what it was predicted to be.
Right.
And next year, they're not predicting a goddamn thing for the winter next year. We can expect, I'm looking at the calendar now and looking at the forecast for the next 10 days or so. Sunny all the way across, not a drop of rain. So it's going to continue and the drought's obviously going to get worse. But Donald Trump, like I said, Donald Trump isn't sold. He doesn't believe the drought is real. He said to a rally crowd the other day, he said, we're going to solve your water problem. You have a water problem that is so insane. It is so ridiculous where they're taking the water and shoving it out to sea. Here's actually Donald Trump with one of his most bizarre rants about the drought.
We're going to solve your water problem. You have a water problem that is so insane. It is so ridiculous where they're taking the water and shoving it out to sea.
By the way, this is seconds after him saying that there is no drought. I mean, that's a direct quote. There is no drought. And now he's talking about a water problem.
The fact that this man is not even presumptive, let's face it, is the nominee for the Republican Party is right. Just staggering. I mean, just absolutely staggering. He is a mess of a candidate, a disaster.
He really is. He really is. But he's got the best words.
I know words. I have the best words.
But no, I mean, he believes that this is the whole thing is ridiculous. He goes off about something with regard to rivers and tiny fishes. That's after all of the accolades from his mouth-breathing idiot followers.
And I just met with a lot of the farmers who are great people, and they're saying, we don't even understand it. They don't understand. Nobody understands it.
Yeah, okay. Listen to that. Nobody understands it.
Nobody understands it.
Again, reasonable doubt. Yeah, nobody.
He's the candidate of idiots.
That's right. Climatologists don't understand it. Agriculture officials don't understand it. No one understands. Weather people, no one understands it. No one. Exactly no one. So why should Trump's people understand or accept any of it?
And I've heard this from other friends of mine in California where they have farms up here and they don't get water. I said, oh, that's too bad. Is it a drought? No, we have plenty of water. I said, what's wrong? Well, we shove it out to sea. And I said, why? And nobody even knows why. And the environmentalists don't know why. Now, they're trying to protect a certain kind of 3-inch fish.
Yeah, the 3-inch fish. Donald Trump's c***.
Yeah.
Then Steve Bannon continued on Mattoblog. He said, the Republican presidential candidate speaks with great confidence about his unique ability to solve any problem, despite having no idea what he's talking about. It's one thing to be ignorant. It's something else entirely for someone who is ignorant to convince himself of his own vast and imaginary knowledge. Paul Manafort, Trump's campaign chairman, argued last week that the Republican, quote, knows he has more to learn. But does he? Or is it more likely that the presumptive GOP nominee is already convinced his instincts and brilliance have provided him with all of the tools he needs to succeed? And, of course, this has to do with he's just going to bring the water. He's just going to find water and bring the water and the drought.
And it's going to be the best water.
It's going to be the best water.
It's going to be the best water. He has water. He has the best water.
I know words. I have the best words.
Goes for water, too. Anyway, so just dumb, stupid Trump nonsense. And again, what's terribly frightening about this is that reasonable doubt argument. It's like, I don't know, maybe a drought, maybe not a drought. And then everyone goes, well, I guess it's not a drought. We could just leave our sprinklers on 24 hours a day. Like Orange County's already turned on all their sprinklers at this point. They're all voting for Trump in the first place. They might as well just have green lawns at the same time. Jesus Christ. Okay, so moving along here, we're going to talk after break. We're going to talk about, in more detail, Trump's veteran issues. Plus, we're going to have audio of Trump calling that ABC News reporter a sleaze. Plus, North Korea has endorsed a candidate. Guess who it is?
Uh-huh.
Plus, we're going to be talking about the gorilla thing a little bit later in the show. So what we'll do right now is take an early break, talk about shaving razors, come back and get back into Trump here. Harry's Razors, the best thing ever. All right, now that summer is unofficially here. Unofficially. It doesn't really begin until later in June, but I say it starts now. And because it's here, that means unbearably hot weather all around. So why are you still wearing that gigantic Civil War neckbeard? Join me in making the summer of 2016 the summer of Harry's Razors. Clean, cool shaves all around and no more BO in your beards. Harry's offers a high-quality German-engineered shave that's better for your face and your wallet. It's about half the price of other big brands' blades, plus they ship free to your front doorstep. And bonus, you don't have to go to the customer service counter and have them unlock all those blades for you. You just get them at your doorstep. It's as easy as that. Why pay $32 for an 8-pack of blades when you can get them for half the price at Harry's.com? They have a starter set It's an amazing deal. For just $15, you get a razor, moisturizing shave cream, and three razor blades with a money-back satisfaction guarantee. Stand up against overpriced blades in their protective glass display cases with Harry's razors. And don't forget, ladies, Harry's is perfect for your legs and armpits. Go to harrys.com, enter the promo code BANDC for Bob and Jez. Get $5 off your first Harry's shave. Plus, you'll be supporting the show by taking good care of your face or your legs with Harry's razors. That's HARRYS.com.
Summer music. Pow, pow, power.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
All right, welcome back to our Tuesday show. Hope you had a great Memorial Day weekend.
Here it is, a cool transform. Just a bit of a break from the norm. Just a little.
This is actually kind of a fascinating story. This Trump veterans donations story.
It's the entire essence of Trump distilled down into one story.
Yeah, it really is. And what makes it extra fascinating is the fact that Donald Trump has actually normally he would just blow something like this off or just like freak out about it and then ignore it because that's what he does. The thing is, though, with this one, he actually seems like he's performing some real political triage here. He's actually doing something to try to fix the problem. And it's obviously revealing the whole scam of it all. But Donald Trump claimed that he had donated $6 million to veterans groups. But according to the Associated Press, phone calls to all 41 of the groups named by Donald Trump brought more than 24 responses. About half reported checks from Donald Trump within the past week and typically dated May 24th, the day the Washington Post published a story questioning whether he had distributed all of the money.
Yeah.
Trump, the presumptive Republican presidential nominee, told reporters at a testy news conference in New York that the fundraiser, held at the same time as Fox News GOP debate he was boycotting, raised $5.6 million. He declined to disclose which charities had received the funds, and his campaign had gone back and forth about how much was raised. The money's all been sent, Trump said in the news conference at Trump Tower on Tuesday. He repeatedly criticized the press for making the money an issue, saying reporters should be ashamed of themselves for asking where the money had gone. But he only just paid a lot of these checks last week.
Yeah.
So at least let's be generous and say about 30%. 30% of that money actually was never donated to any veterans organizations. It was just sent last week.
No. And then he, of course, turns on the media because it's the media's fault for pointing that out.
Right. So you have
it's the media's fault for calling him on his crap.
Right. So there were 41 groups named by Trump as the groups he donated to. And then when the AP started calling them and checking in and saying, hey, did you get a check from Trump? Only 24, about 24 responses came in today. About half of those, so that'd be about 12, reported checks from Trump within the past week. Jesus, what a doofus. He's like, you know what I'm going to do?
And I don't think he understands that this is the way it, I mean, obviously it infuriates him.
Yeah.
But this is the way it's going to be. As president, as someone who now is vying for a position of, a position of authority, the position of authority.
Right.
He has to understand that he's not private anymore. He will be scrutinized. Everything he says, everything he does. And if he does something like just willy-nilly off, pull out of his ass a promise to give veterans $6 million, he's got to do it. He's got to follow through. He can't just be his usual self and just, who cares?
Yeah, well, right, because he's going to be a public official. And he's running for that office.
So and you know something? Just for a second here. By the way, all the crap you've heard about Hillary Clinton and her emails, mm-hmm. I want you to take that. Think about that for a moment. Take it and multiply that by a million when it comes to Trump. Yeah. Because Trump is one of the most secretive people on earth. He doesn't want anybody knowing about his business.
That's right.
And the idea that he is going to be forced, should he, again, God forbid, become president, the idea that he is going to be forced to essentially make everything about himself public. Everything he does, all of it has to be available for scrutiny. All of it has to be done through official channels. That's going to kill him. It's going to destroy him. You would find out yeah. President Trump, you would find out that he was using secretive methods every 2 days.
Oh my God. Yeah, absolutely. And what's ironic about the whole thing is he's basically going to build his campaign around making a big deal about Hillary Clinton's emails.
Right.
And this is coming from, again, Donald Trump.
Yeah, the most secretive person on earth. The person who lies his ass off and hides everything.
Yeah. So Donald Trump continued throughout this this news conference today saying that the media was unbelievably dishonest, right? Pot calling the kettle black there, or pot calling the kettle orange, as the case may be, for its treatment of the issue, and dismissed an ABC reporter as a sleaze. Not sleazy, but he's a sleaze.
Yeah.
He said many times that he didn't want credit for the fundraising, but seemed peeved that he wasn't thanked for it.
This is it. It's his enemies list. Right. He's already doing it.
Here's Donald Trump referring to the ABC News reporter as sleaze. This is Donald Trump as his snippy, petulant worst.
Well, the veterans, believe me. Let me tell you the veterans why they...
Believe me.
Believe me. Believe me believe twice me. Now.
Yeah. Believe me.
Okay. Oh, you know what?
Why are okay, Mr.
Here?
Luthor. I'll believe you.
I want a really snarky reporter. I want like an old school Matt Taibbi when he used to cover elections right. to just go like, oh, okay, you know what? Fine, I believe you. Why are any of us here? Let's get up and go.
That's right. Just everyone walk out and leave. But you know what? It's like the press. I'm wondering at some point whether or not they're going to actually do that. And they really, really should. I mean, how much abuse are they really going to take? I mean, everyone's bitching about how the Obama White House has been mean to the press. They haven't seen anything yet.
Dear Lord. Imagine what Donald Trump as president would be like.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he's going to be kicking people out of the White House press corps left and right. There are going to be three people in that press room. If they don't all walk out in the first place, which they probably should.
Believe me, let me tell you the veterans why they believe. And I have one group was here that I gave. Is Al Baldessaro here? Maybe you want to say, this is a group I gave money to. Now, I could have asked all these groups. He just showed up. I just saw him. But I could have asked all these groups to come here and they could have made. I didn't want to do that. I'm not looking for credit. But what I don't want is when I raise millions of dollars.
I'm not looking for credit, which is why I'm doing this press conference flanked by veterans.
Precisely.
Alleged veterans, because you see what he's doing here. And he's playing a shell game, right? He claims $5.6 million in donations. He can prove some of them, which he's kind of comporting to be all of them.
Yeah,
he's
of
saying,
course.
I have five guys standing back here. They're all veterans from organizations. So I've given $5.6 million to veterans organizations.
I've given money to veterans and organizations.
I've given lots of money to organization,
mm-hmm.
like singular.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean all 5 points. He claimed $5.6 million. He didn't give $5.6 million. That's right. The scam.
People say like this sleazy guy right over here from ABC. He's a sleaze, in my book. You're a sleaze because you know the facts and you know the facts well. Go ahead.
He's such a snippy little bitch, isn't he?
That's exactly what it is. He is a snippy little bitch. And I'm really enjoying the press smacking him down.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? They haven't even started to be really aggressive against him.
No.
They're only like dipping a toe in the water. And what they really ought to be doing is just relentlessly hammering him. Otherwise, he's just going to continue to either ignore the press or ostracize them, censor them, kick them out of his events, and just generally berate them.
Right.
Far worse than anything we've ever seen. It's hilarious to me that the Republicans have just been relentless against Barack Obama's treatment of the press, which is, good Lord. I mean, talk about a walk in the park versus what they're going to face with Donald Trump.
Of course. Because, again, it's not just you know, it's not just a matter of, oh, you know what, he's not holding enough press conferences.
Yeah.
Or he's moving around a lot and it's become very difficult for us to cover them. Or he's being a little bit evasive in terms of answering questions. This is going to be you're a sleazeball, called out publicly and put on an enemies list.
Listen
and
to
never this. And never given access to this douche.
Listen to this quote. Trump said, instead of being like, thank you very much, Mr. Trump, or Trump did a good job, everyone's saying, who got it? Who got it? Who got it? And you make me look very bad, Trump complained.
Taking on reports. That's an astonishing quote.
Quote, I have never received such bad publicity for doing such a good job.
Yep.
But what do you mean, for
credit.
Lying about how much money you gave?
He doesn't want credit. He could never handle it. He could never handle the press.
Yeah.
But the sad thing is, you got to keep in mind, as president, he would be able to basically stonewall them.
Yeah, exactly.
If he wanted to.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, he would
There's no law, you know, there are laws saying that he has to do certain things, but there are other things that are completely at his whim.
Oh.
And his whim sucks.
He's going to reinvent the term executive privilege. It's going to be executive privilege all over the place. I mean, he's going to use every bit of federal government to backstop himself.
Right.
The Associated Press spoke or left messages Tuesday with each of the organizations. Among the checks sent out on May 24th was $1 million from Trump himself, sent to the Marine Corps Law Enforcement Foundation, a group that provides scholarships to the children of Marines and federal agents killed in the line of duty. Great cause. Trump's campaign had previously told the newspaper that Trump's promised $1 million donation had already been distributed. Trump's campaign manager, Corey Lewandowski, had originally told the Post that the event had raised $4.5 million, less than the $6 million originally announced by Trump, because some who'd pledged contributions had backed out. Lewandowski also said all the money had been given out. Trump had claimed during the fundraiser that he'd raised $6 million through a combination of pledges from wealthy friends, the public, and $1 million from himself after the splashy telethon-style fundraiser he held in Iowa in January in place of the Fox debate. But his campaign refused for months to disclose which charities had received the money, leading some news organizations and critics to question whether the money raised was less than he had said. So what we're getting from this is not so much a matter of Trump did something illegal or Trump is, you know, hiding state secrets or whatever. This is just a matter of Trump's veracity. It's just another example of just Trump stomping on the truth and just marketing in what are obviously lies. I mean, it's not even gray area. It's like, I raised $6 million. Oh, did you? Where did it all go? And who got it? Well, these five people behind me got some of it. Oh, yeah. Really?
He is so used to just saying things and having no one check up on it.
That's
and
right.
Have no one verify it. And he can't do that anymore. And it's you can see it. It's infuriating him.
Yep.
It's frustrating him.
Yep.
I don't understand why people aren't just really loving my lies. I mean, honestly. I'm getting up here. I'm giving money. I'm giving away money. I'm telling people that I'm giving away money, and I'm saying that it's a lot of money. And why don't you appreciate that? Why don't you appreciate that I'm saying that I'm giving people money?
I mean, didn't you hear me say believe me? And why aren't you believing me?
Yeah. Why aren't you believing me?
I just said believe me, and you're not believing me. What's your problem? All right. We're going to take another break, come back, and talk about the funniest news story of the day right after this. Hello, it's Bob to tell you about our Patreon page. You might be asking yourself, what the hell is a Patreon page? It's a website where you can help support our podcast by donating money to the show. You can sign up for $1, $5, $10, or $15 per month, or if you're filthy rich, you can sign up for more. In exchange, we'll bring you exclusive Patreon-only content like our post-mortem shows, memberships to the After Party, and commercial-free, unbleeped versions of our free show. And if we reach our crowdfunding goal, we'll bring you new shows every weekday. That's patreon.com/Bob and Chez, or click the Patreon link at bobseska.com. Let's do this thing.
Shove Bob and Chez into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go.
Believe me.
Subscribe to the Bob and Chez Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
Yep, the second half of today's show is brought to you by the BobSeska.com Amazon link. If you're shopping for Father's Day or any other reason, and you don't need a reason to go shopping, you just go to Amazon.com and buy stuff. And if you do that shopping, make sure to enter Amazon using our link. It's just below the logo at bobsesca.com. And we get a small commission from everything you buy just by clicking on the Amazon link at bobsesca.com. It costs you nothing and helps support the show. Thank you in advance for doing that. All right, so this hacked road sign is hilarious and raises a couple of funny questions. There was a hacked road sign, let's see, in Dallas after Memorial Day weekend, and the hacked road sign said, "Donald Trump is a shape-shifting lizard." And then it said, "Bernie for president," shortly after 6 a.m. on Tuesday. That's that's kind of awesome. The irony here is that the shape-shifting lizard meme with a shape-shifting lizard conspiracy theory comes to us from Alex Jones, who is actually a Donald Trump supporter. Believe it or not. Because, you know, because, of course, Alex Jones believes Donald Trump.
Yes.
When Donald Trump says, "Believe me," Alex Jones believes him. Even though Alex Jones questions
literally
everything.
Yeah.
Everything. But he's going to believe Donald Trump because
right,
Donald
but that's,
Trump's
a that's the great. But that's the great irony.
Yeah.
Is that he believes nonsense.
Yeah.
He'll believe any idiotic thing that you put in front of him. And yet his whole thing is that, well, you know what? You got to dig deeper. I don't believe any of that. Like the normal things he won't believe.
Right.
The sane propositions, he just can't wrap his head around.
That's right. Donald Trump is a shape-shifting lizard. For those of you who don't know, you're just joining us, perhaps. Alex Jones talks about how there are living among us shape-shifting lizard people from outer space, and they've taken the form of various public officials, business leaders. We can only assume the Illuminati as well. No, but Alex Jones, who again, Donald Trump supporter, did an entire show dressed up as a lizard person,
literally.
With a lizard mask and weirdly a top hat.
Literally.
And
because, as shape-shifting lizards are wont to do.
Because lots of
are wont to wear.
Yes, they're fans of quality headwear. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, of course they're going to wear a top hat.
Putting on the shape-shifting lizard Brits.
That's right. So, meanwhile, North Korea endorsed Donald Trump, of course.
But how many dictators are we up to now in terms of endorsing Donald Trump?
Let's see. Well,
Vladimir Putin has already said that he's great.
That's right.
Who else?
The KKK.
The KKK, right. That's good enough. I'll count that.
And North Korea.
And of course, North Korea.
An editorial in North Korea's state-run media on Tuesday offered high praise for presumptive U.S. Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump. Trump is a, quote-unquote, wise politician and, quote, far-sighted presidential candidate, the Korean language article in DPRK Today argues. The editorial attributed to Chinese-North Korean scholar Yan Hong Mook is not official government policy, yet it likely reflects the authoritarian regime's thinking, experts told NK News. Quote, there are many positive aspects to Trump's inflammatory policies, the article says. They're even in his endorsement. They're describing his policies as being inflammatory.
Right.
Listing two in particular, Trump's offer to meet with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un and his threat to remove U.S. forces from South Korea, which is still technically at war with the North. Yes, do it now, the editorial urged Trump, reflecting Pyongyang's long-held demand that U.S. troops leave the Korean Peninsula. Quote, who knew that the slogan Yankee go home would come true like this?
Literally.
The editorial went on to provide some advice for U.S. voters. The president that U.S. citizens must vote for is not that dull Hillary Clinton, but Trump, who spoke of holding direct conversations with North Korea. You know, they referred to Hillary as dull Hillary. They didn't even include her last name. The Clinton last name was in brackets. Inserted.
Amazing. Just amazing. Everybody's on the Trump bandwagon.
That's right.
Everyone's going to have a stupid fucking nickname.
If they had referred to Trump as crooked, or they referred to Hillary as crooked Hillary, yeah, that would have been just a surefire indication that Trump knows North Korean and can write it proficiently. Which would be scary. The New York real estate developer's statements on foreign affairs have prompted alarm and disbelief in Washington and in capitals around the world. Since Trump reached the number of delegates necessary to secure the Republican nomination last week, alarm has turned to panic. In March, Trump's overture to the North Korean leader brought condemnation from Democratic and Republican officials. Of course, the last thing you want to do is empower this guy in North Korea, Senator Lindsey Graham told CNN. Democratic presidential frontrunner Hillary Clinton said Trump's comments on North Korea and other foreign policy missives were evidence that he's not qualified to be president. But, you know, as long as North Korea does, that's good enough for me and 10 million other Trump supporters.
And you know what? They just won over Trump.
That's right.
By endorsing him, you win him over.
Yep, exactly.
By paying him a compliment.
Yeah.
That's all it takes.
I think they're fully aware of that, clearly.
Of course they are. Yeah, of course. Everyone in the world knows Trump better than Trump knows himself. These despots, they know. That's all they got to do. All they got to do is compliment him. I mean, if a Trump win would be such a victory for despotic regimes around the planet, because number one, they know how to manipulate him. Number two, it would be such a beautiful sign that America had failed and become just like them.
That's right.
And also because he's better than Hillary Clinton, because Hillary Clinton is someone who will, you know, who is a brilliant negotiator and also, you know, somebody who doesn't take a lot of crap.
Remember 8 years ago when Barack Obama got just completely destroyed, not only by the Republicans, but also by, quite frankly, Hillary Clinton, for saying that he would reach out to the leaders of Iran and try to cut a deal on nuclear weapons or something like that. Just in terms of at least sitting down and having a conversation, he got destroyed. Yeah. And Trump is saying that he's not only going to meet with Kim Jong-un, but that he's also going to remove American troops from South Korea. Jesus Christ. And the Republicans are like, woohoo! Yeah, you tell them, Donald. You go get them. Go get them South Koreans. We're in favor of North? Is it North Korea? Are we now really seriously in favor of North Korea? Are we really? North Korea, go Donald Trump and go North Korea. His supporters are just like, the smoke is coming in there. Now that doesn't sound right. Are you sure North Korea? I don't. And so, this is the cognitive dissonance that's happening on the right. They just don't know which end is up anymore because everything is getting scrambled. It's this opposite day mentality that actually ends up forcing Republicans to oppose formerly Republican ideas. Such as not talking to dictators.
Yeah, it's an incredible thing to look at. It's just, I've never seen anything like this.
All right, one last break, and we're going to talk about Harambe the gorilla right after this.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius bath and body products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
This is the Bob and Chez Show with Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Hey, welcome back.
I know you like that. You want to try that.
Okay. Shake your ass crack. So, rock the saucer. What can I say? Harambe the gorilla. I think there's a lot of assumptions that Chez and I were going to be clawing each other's eyeballs out for the bulk of the show. But you know what? Honestly, you know, it sounds cliche to say this, but we agree on this more than we disagree on this. And I want to start.
I agree very much with your. I like your piece and banter, and I agree with your measured assessments therein. Right. Very much.
Right. And I think that's kind of the place to start in all of this. I think Just to underscore, and I think where we ended up disagreeing a lot, and those of you who have been following along on Facebook kind of have all of the background, but in case you don't, Jez and I, very seldom do we get to enjoy a full 3-day weekend, given that very often we have to write articles about things over weekends and maybe even long holiday weekends.
We may as well be Donald Trump. We write articles about things, so many good things. We get great things.
Right. But we ended up spending a good portion of our holiday weekend yelling at each other, not only in our own threads, but in other people's threads as well, which is always the most intrusive. Like, it's like the fight goes, it's like bar hopping.
Yeah, it is. It's like a bar fight that goes outside.
It goes outside and then into another bar. But, of course, those of you who've been listening to the show for long enough know kind of where Chez and I land on animal issues. I'm kind of an animal rights guy, and Chez is kind of not. And so I think that kind of...
One thing, and I want to say this right off the bat. I thought that it was a very unfair assumption to say that just because I am someone who eats meat or has a, for lack of a better term, adventurous diet, and by the way, my diet is not that adventurous. I have expressed... interest in the fact that, there are certain foods that I would like to try, sure. But obviously, it's not like I'm going to fucking SeaWorld and saying, hey, fry me up flipper. I would never do something. I wouldn't eat gorilla meat, Jesus, or anything like that.
Okay.
And I think that it's unfair to make the assumption that because I'm someone who eats that way, that I don't have an appreciation for animals, a love for animals, and that I don't want to see them needlessly killed or tortured. Of course not. My God, I eat meat. I'm not a sociopath, although I know that there are some people in PETA who, equate those two.
Sure. I mean, I was merely referencing, some of your articles about foie gras and your discontentment with the animal rights movement and so forth.
I think the animal rights movement, I think it kind of sucks. I mean, but that's because I don't like PETA. I think that PETA's tactics are horrific. I don't think someone saying that... animals shouldn't be mistreated. 100%, of course.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that stems from my view on that, again, stems from what you've written. And certainly we've had past discussions about things like that. But I think my remarks with regard to your adventurous diet, as you put it, I was merely funning on that front and not necessarily making a serious argument.
And that's cool.
I think along those lines, though, what I was saying originally on Facebook, which occurred, I think I don't remember exactly when the story broke, but I first saw the story, I believe it was, what was it, Saturday morning? All the days seem to have run together. It was Sunday morning, was it?
You put up a Facebook post on Sunday, I believe.
Sunday, right. So that's when I first heard about it.
And it was very strongly worded.
It was very strongly worded. And it was, you know what? I put myself in the same category as a lot of people, although not everybody, because I certainly don't think that the parents should have been shot or the kid or whatever. Like, I don't think any harm should have come to the child or the parents or anything like that. That's obvious. But what happened was, I had seen, and I think many of us have seen, day after day in our Facebook feeds, stories coming down. If you look at the front page of Huffington Post, for example, there's always some horrendous story about some exotic animal or even a domestic animal being tortured, abused, human beings just doing horrendous medieval things to animals day after day after day. The numbers of stories, the Cecil the Lion kind of stories that we see all the time.
Sure. I think, by the way, I cannot agree more. Mm-hmm. And I've said this, Taryn and I have talked about this many, many times.
Yeah.
If you're somebody who goes out and kills a lion, mm-hmm. And, you pose with it and you're going to put its head on your wall, you are the worst kind of piece of shit.
Yeah, and exactly. And you have said that many times. When we talked about Cecil the Lion on this show, you were
absolutely
very clear about
that. That guy's a dirtbag.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, but from my perspective, and I think from the perspective of a lot of people who are animal lovers, saw that story come down and it was just like, it was heartbreaking to see that and knowing that this gorilla didn't know what the hell was going on. And suddenly he's dead.
No. You know, I think, by the way, you and I agree completely on that. I think it's this whole thing, regardless of what went down, how it went down, who was to blame, whatever, it's undeniably tragic.
Yes,
there is a gorilla, a very smart, very lovely animal, an endangered animal that, was just minding its own business. And a kid falls in and suddenly, all right, there's this thing here. Okay, what do I do with this? All right, do I protect it? You know, do I? And by the way, I'm saying this because one of the things that I complained about a lot was that people had this idea that they had some sort of empathy, this telepathic connection to the gorilla, and could tell what the gorilla was thinking when nobody can.
But
I'm arguing here is like, you're right to say that the gorilla was probably just spooked as hell and then all of a sudden dead. That's very tragic.
Right. Because suddenly all of the bald gorillas on the other side of the fence are screaming at them, screaming at him, and he doesn't know what the hell's going on. But I mean, I think it was general knowledge, though, that although gorillas are extraordinarily powerful, I think what the strength index is something like 10 times human strength.
Yeah, and that gorilla weighs 400 pounds.
And weighs 400 pounds. But I think it's generally understood that gorillas aren't the King Kong sort of skull-crushing monsters that they're made out in pop culture and in movies.
No, and I never imagined that was what this gorilla was. Yeah. My concern was that the gorilla can do a lot of damage without meaning to.
Right.
Or if the gorilla does become enraged, the gorilla can still do a lot of damage without meaning to.
That gorilla had no interest in eating the child. The gorilla had very little interest in actually killing the child, although accidents can happen, especially when you're talking about a tiny human child, gigantic gorilla. Now, knowing all of this, was it the right choice to kill the gorilla? And given the lack of preparation that the zoo had displayed, given this situation, it was basically the only thing they could do.
Yes,
and it kills me.
And I think that it came down. I think it came down to I mean, you sort of jokingly said, well, I eat meat, so disqualified. And I never wanted to use this argument because it's the same kind of argument. I never wanted to do this because I hated it when I was childless and people used this argument on me. But when you do have a child, you understand. You understand certain things, and one of them is that kids can get away from you. And if that were your child, I promise you, Bob, if that were your child in there, you would, no matter how that kid got in there, you would very much be, you have to take the shot.
Yeah, but a good portion of the time, and I'm only going to half concede that, and I'll tell you why. Because a lot of the time in the course of that situation, in addition to wanting to rescue my child, frankly, I would have jumped in. Probably been killed in the process.
Apparently, I would have jumped in. From what I read, the father tried to jump in, and everyone held him back.
Okay, I see. Well,
and keep in mind that they attempted to sort of get the boy out talking to the gorilla, that kind of thing, for 10 minutes. Yeah. It wasn't like the boy was in there for 2 seconds, and they're just like, okay, get the zoo SWAT team in here and kill him.
Yeah, but what I guess along those lines, what I'm saying here is, while given their options and lack of preparation for the various scenarios that can occur with spectators and wild exotic animals, this zoo, after having run Gorilla World for 38 years, this zoo should have had 1 through 100 different solutions to contingencies such as this, besides just, we can either trank them or we can shoot them.
Here's the thing, and I can flip that argument around a little bit, because I agree with you. I think it would be – I want to believe that there are other ways of handling this genuinely. Mm-hmm. But I also – you have to kind of stop and think for a second that, they have run this thing for 38 years. This gorilla has been there for – I think it was 17. Did I get that right? 17 years.
Almost 17.
17 years. So two things. Number one, they know the gorilla. More than any expert you could bring up about any primatologist, they know the behavior of that gorilla. They know its temperament. They know they've lived with it for a long time. But more than that, having run this gorilla exhibit for 38 years, I would hope that they have tried to come up with other ways besides just either lethal or a tranquilizer. And I mean, I don't know. But maybe they've tried and failed. Maybe what they found is there is nothing in between. Everything either takes too long, won't get, you know, won't subdue the gorilla fast enough, and the only thing to do when there is a human being, a human's life at stake is, you know, again, tragically, to kill the gorilla.
Well, in none of the press conferences they've held over the weekend, or into this week for that matter, have they outlined other contingencies and other solutions to those contingencies. They haven't really talked about any other solutions that they have in place. And what their two solutions, either tranquilizing or shooting the gorilla, and possibly just trying to say, hey, Harambe, over here, look over here. These solutions assume that a creature like a silverback gorilla has three speeds or two speeds, either aggressive and about to kill or docile and agreeable.
No, I
agree. And that's not the case. So knowing that these people are primatological experts, they're gorilla experts, they know all the various moods and things that affect gorillas, and you'd think that they would have a series of solutions in place, whether they were structural or whether they had specifically to do with drawing an animal away from a child, you know. I mean, on top of the obvious fact that if this gorilla is such a danger that we need, that our only option in a situation like this is to shoot it in the head, then maybe we should have thought of something better than this obviously lacking enclosure fence that was able to be.
Oh, I will agree with you 110% on that, of course.
Infiltrated by a little child, right. You know, in and amongst a giant crowd of people. He was able to slip right in. These are all problems that I lay squarely at the feet of the Cincinnati Zoo.
Right.
For not having the ingenuity, for not having the creativity. I referred to it in my banter article. What killed Harambe is just a disgusting lack of imagination. After 38 years of running Gorilla World, not being able to game out a scenario like this in which a child is rescued and an endangered gorilla is not killed. I mean, even if there were some other non-lethal way, I mean, I couldn't even begin to start to list all the possibilities. But I mean, because I'm not an expert in primate behavior. But if you are an expert in primate behavior, you should be able to tailor create a series of things. You think at some point they would come up with, just by observing gorillas, what's the best way to distract a gorilla that doesn't lead to that silverback gorilla starting to display and become aggressive?
Well, I don't know. Who's to say that they didn't try to do that for 10 minutes?
Well, they obviously, it didn't, whatever it was, it didn't work.
That's, who's to say that that wasn't obviously a last resort? Like, we've tried those distraction techniques and they're not working.
But from all reports we've gotten, they were given basically what amounts to 2.5 options. It was either tranquilize the gorilla, which is untenable because they're afraid that if the dart hits the gorilla, then the gorilla's going to smash the kid.
Yes.
I guess I'm going to take them at their word that is the reaction that the gorilla would have displayed. The other option was to shoot the gorilla. The half option, I think it's only a half option, was, hey, look over here, gorilla. Distract the gorilla. To me, that's not a list of three things, maybe three things. That's not adequate when you're running a gorilla paddock with endangered animals inside and millions of people every year on the outside with a teeny tiny fence being that's able to be infiltrated by a four-year-old. This is a zoo that was horrendously and inadequately equipped for crowds and for gorillas. And
obvious. Yes, there's no way that a child should have been able to get in there. But here's what started everything between you and me. And it wasn't really you and me. Here's what started my sort of taking an interest in this story and in the response to this story. Because your first, and again, I'm trying. Oh, I got a. Speaking of animals, I got a cat here making me crazy.
Shoot it.
I know exactly. I should really. Your initial response. And by the way, Facebook is the place for hot takes. We all know that.
Yeah.
Your initial response was to really, really go after the parents.
Right.
And I understand, because honestly, my first thought is, yeah, you know what? The parents are probably distracted and just weren't paying attention, and the kid got away and was able to get down into the gorilla enclosure, and that's on them. But the level of vitriol that post provoked. And by the way, I'm only bringing up this Facebook post because normally it's like, it's a Facebook post. Who cares? Mm, yeah. But that damn thing that you wrote was liked more than 1,000 times. It was shared hundreds of times. And I'm sort of sifting through some of these comments. I was appalled. And there's a word I never use. I was genuinely offended. I'm like, I'm reading these things, and it's like, you know, a gorilla's life is worth more than a child. You know, the gorilla's endangered, screw the little brat. Eugenics is a great idea, which, by the way, as soon as it was revealed that it was a black family, I couldn't help but wonder if, like, the eugenics person wasn't like, ooh, I better remove that. There was just so much unhinged venom. And here's my issue, and this is why I wrote about it yesterday. It was unhinged venom when we knew nothing about what happened other than the basics.
Yeah, but
we didn't know the family. We didn't know whether they had other kids. We didn't know how long the kid had been away from them. We didn't know any of that. And yet there were people screaming for blood. They doxed the wrong person online.
Yeah, that's true.
When they thought they had the person, because we all know how the internet mob behaves. Mm-hmm. And that really, really pissed me off because, again, there were so many people on that list that were like, you know what, if I had a kid, that would never happen. And I'm like, you know what? Yeah. I have a kid. That's absolutely not true. I'm a conscientious parent, but guess what? You turn your back for a split second and kids can – I was in the store one time. I turned around. Inara vanished specifically to go play hide and seek with me, and I had to go through the store terrified that something had happened to me.
But realize there's a difference between a parent's attention in Walmart versus a parent's attention in the face of wild exotic animals feet away.
I agree, but here's the thing. I'm willing to bet that those parents probably wrongly – believed that that the animals, there was some sort of safety, you know, some their walls between the animals and their children. Mm. Still, not again, I'm not taking the blame off the parents on this. What I'm saying is I was really, really upset about the idea that everybody just jumped on it immediately and were literally calling for blood.
Yeah, I mean,
like,
again,
wait until we get details. That's all I'm asking. Details before you go off on this insane blood-curdling rant.
Well, first of all, and obviously we're going to bleed this into the post-mortem show, but I mean, a couple of responses to that. First of all, there's something to be said about allowing people to grieve. And whether it's Bernie Sanders supporters at the end of their campaign here, or if it's people observing the death, the unnecessary death of a majestic and endangered gorilla that shares 98% of its genes with you and me. People need time to vent, to be outraged, and I would wager that 99% of the people who appeared in my Facebook thread to talk about this regret saying, yeah, we should shoot the parents or whatever the crazy things were.
They were reacting
in grief and perpetual frustration over, and speaking for myself, over what I've observed happening between animals and exotic, and specifically exotic animals and human beings recently. Whether it's Trump kids or whether it's that goddamn Dennis and Cecil the Lion, or whether it's one animal like dog or cat abuse story after another, or whether it's the Chinese dog meat festival or whatever the goddamn hell that is. Just one circumstance or another, and it doesn't mean necessarily that things have changed or gotten worse. It's just they're more visible now, and it gets to the point of critical mass where you just have to say, and this is not my excuse, but this kind of explains where I was coming from the other day, to say enough is enough. People are acting like maniacs when it comes to animals, and it's got to stop. I mean, and when it comes to parenting, I mean, that's a whole other story that I really have a lot of trouble getting into, because what it does is it forces me to go down the road of discussing some things in my private life that I would rather just keep private.
And that's fine.
But there is something to be said for making sure that you have an eye on your kid when there are dangerous gorillas, that if your kid comes into contact with them, the gorillas have to be shot in the head, otherwise the gorillas are going to kill your kid.
I won't argue with that.
All right, post-mortem show coming up next. We'll continue to talk about this and other stuff. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.